Good morning. As you're probably gathered, we're continuing our journey through the book of Ruth. And for those who maybe missed one or the last couple of weeks, I'll just do a quick recap of how we've got to where we're at. The book of Ruth begins, opens, it tells a story of a guy called Elimelech and his wife Naomi. And they live in the land of Israel, but there's a famine. And they decide to move along with their two sons to Moab. And Moab's a foreign country with foreign gods, but anyway, they move there. They're there a while, and the two sons, they marry two Moabite women. But subsequently, not only does Naomi's husband die, but also the two sons, leaving Naomi with her two daughter-in-laws destitute. But Naomi hears that things are a lot better back in Israel, so she heads back, she decides to go back to Bethlehem where she has come from. And she encourages her two daughter-in-laws to stay with their own people, but one of them decides that, no, she wants to go away, Naomi, and that's Ruth. And then when they arrive back in Bethlehem, this guy, Boaz, comes into the story. And it's a story, as we discover, as it unfolds. Boaz is a man of wealth. He's a man of integrity. He's upright. He's honest. And very importantly, he's actually a relative of Naomi. But when Naomi and Ruth come to Bethlehem, they've no income. They're still destitute. And Ruth goes sent out into the field to do something. She was sent out to glean. And this was something that was set in place for the destitute at that time in Israel. For the people that had no income, they had no provision. And Naomi and Ruth really fell into this category. And basically what happened was there was always a bit of the crop was left. There was a bit, an age around the field, and those that had nothing would come behind the harvesters, the reapers, and they would gather up what was left. So Ruth goes out into the field, and it happens, she ends up in the field of Boaz. And Boaz is very good to her. He arranges that actually there'll be a little bit more left behind. He asks the reapers just to throw out some of the portion so as Ruth has planted in. Ruth goes home delighted and she tells Naomi what has happened. Naomi's over the moon. Not only that there's abundance of food, but actually that the field that she's ended up in is Boaz's. So that basically gets us to the story today, till we hit chapter 3. And we're told that one day Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been with, a kinsman of ours?" In Jewish law, there was an unusual practice in place that was designed to carry on the family line and keep property and so on and so forth in the family. If a widow had no sons, she could request that the next of kin or kinsman redeemer would marry her. And any children that they would have would take on her name or the name of her husband. And they would continue the family bloodline and the family name and actually the family property. And Naomi realizing that Boaz fits into this category, she suggests to Ruth, there's an opportunity here for you actually to have a new husband and to carry on the family line, to have children and so on. So she hatches a plan. She comes up with a plan to make this happen. She says to Ruth, "Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes, then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know, that's Boaz, you're there, until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying, then go on and cover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." In other words, make yourself smell nice, have a bath, get washed, get the perfume on, get your best clothes on, and go and creep into a man's bed in the middle of the night. Is that really the advice a godly mother-in-law should be given slightly risky. Bit of risk involved in this. Ruth could be taken advantage of. You know, just think of it. Middle-aged man, an attractive woman, comes into his bed at night. It could be an invitation to something. There was risk there. And there's also another risk. She could actually lie down at the wrong guy's feet. It's dark. And Naomi warns her, when he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Don't end up at the wrong man's feet. And then, of course, if Ruth was discovered doing what she was doing, it would destroy her reputation. There was a lot of risk involved in this plan of Naomi's. There's a lot that could go wrong. Yet Ruth does as she's told. When Boaz has settled down for the night, she creeps up and she lies down at his feet. And Boaz, we're told, you know, in the middle of the night, he's surprised, he wakes up while his feet was cold, or he felt somebody at his feet, whatever. And he asks, "Who are you?" He asks, and she says, "I'm your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment, spread your wings over me, since you are my kinsman redeemer." What's going on here? What's happening? Well, actually, Boaz knows exactly what's happening. He says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than what you've showed earlier. You have not run after a younger man, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all you ask." It was a custom, if a man wanted to propose to a woman, he would take a blanket and when he would throw it over her. This meant she would become under his protection. So what Ruth is doing is proposing here that Boaz proposed to her. That's really what he's doing, what she's doing. Brilliant plan. Up to now, it's all worked. However, it turns out that Boaz isn't the closest of kin. He says, "Although it's true I'm your near of kin, there's a kinsman redeemer nearer than I." We'll hear what happens next week. But for now, what might the Lord be saying to us in these final few minutes? What might the Lord be saying to us through this chapter this morning? I believe there's several things. There's probably loads of things, but I haven't got time for them. See, the story of Naomi and of Ruth and of Boaz is a story in itself. It's about real lives. It's about hope. It's about despair. It's about new beginnings. It's about love. It's about the kindness and the faithfulness and the goodness of God. It's a wee story that we find in the Old Testament. Yet more importantly, it's part of a much bigger story. It's part of God's redemption plan for the world. From this couple, from their family line, would come Jesus. You know, Boaz as a kinsman redeemer would begin to paint a picture of what the true redeemer of the world would be like. While Boaz came to the aid of Naomi and Ruth and give them a new beginning, a new start, and give them hope, Jesus would come and he would walk on this earth and he would die on the cross as our Redeemer. He would give us a new beginning, new hope. Hope that goes beyond this world right into eternity. And this story of three people in a small town, a much larger story is beginning to be told. And you know, and in a similar way, it's likewise for us. In our own wee worlds, which in truth so consumes us at times, it's all part of a bigger plan of God. There's a greater plan that actually we're all part of, and which most likely we'll never see. But we're part of a bigger plan. Whether that's to do with our own lives, whether it's to do with our family, whether it's to do with our community, it could do with things on the other side of the world. You see, our response to Jesus and our desire or lack of to pursue after him actually has consequences far beyond what we see or maybe even can imagine. A decision we take today could have consequences far beyond us. And with that in mind, today's reading shows us several, actually very simple things that need to characterize our lives as Christians. And the first one is obedient or obedience. You know, when Naomi comes up with what would seem to be a mad plan, Ruth is obedient and does exactly what she's told. "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her. See, Ruth has seen in Naomi a woman who trusts in God. Even though for Naomi life was not always great, her faith in God was there. Yes, she had questions and she didn't understand everything, but she had a faith in God. And this actually has resulted in Ruth trusting in God. Ruth doesn't come from that background at all. But the example that Naomi sets her, Ruth puts her trust in God. And you know, walking into God's plan, big plan, happens when we're obedient to him. When we trust him, even though when things around us may be calling or pushing us in the opposite direction. In many ways, Naomi's plan was reckless. Yet God was in it. And Ruth trusted. She was obedient. You know, there's many pressures on us today not to be obedient to God. Loads of pressures on us. Some of them sound really logical and plausible. You know, there's some bits of God's word, well, we shouldn't really listen to anymore because it doesn't fit in with culture and so on and so forth. Yet actually, we're called to be obedient. And not to means that we walk outside of God's plan and God's purposes. And when we do that, we walk outside of God's will and God's blessing. You know, Scripture tells us that you know, God's word is a lamp to our feet, a lamp in the darkness. If we put out the lamp, if we decide to turn it off, we're lost. We can't see. We'll stumble and we'll fall. We either choose one or the other. We can't sort of be in between. And there's also something in this passage about being obedient to and listening to and taking heed to those spiritual fathers and mothers who are all around us, who have been in the faith journey a lot longer than what we have. To those who have a voice who can discern what God is saying today in this world. You know, there's a tendency, I think, for all of us, in a sense, to think that we know the best all the time. But there's something precious about having those that's further down the road than us. Something special about having those who discern the voice of God today. We need to take heed, we need to listen, and we need to be obedient. And then secondly, quickly, there's courage. Probably another word for it is actually faith. Looking on the plan of Naomi's is risky, as I said. Was it the best idea? Not sure. But Naomi and Ruth had already experienced the favor of God, the goodness of God, and the kindness of God. And within it all, within seeing God at work, Naomi's heart seems to have come alive. There's been hope placed in there. When she was in the place of hopelessness, she's moved to the place of hope. And God has put hope in her heart. And Naomi has rightly discerned that Ruth ending up on Boaz's field was no coincidence. It just wasn't something that happened. God was in it. She discerned that God was in it. This was a God thing. This was an opportunity. And they needed to step into it. You know, I wonder how many God plans lands at our feet and we miss them. Or we lack the courage or the faith to actually step into them. You know, we can at times think that it's up to God to do all the work. And when that doesn't seem to happen, we either give up or we walk away or we throw up our head or whatever. We expect God to sort it all out. Hand everything to us on a plate so often. Sort out our broken relationships. Sort out our bank accounts. Sort out our perfect partner for us. Find us that dream job. Keep us close to Him even though when we want to go the other way. And for some of us, we even expect when this life is over to walk straight into heaven even though we wanted nothing to do with God in this life. God will sort it all out. But that's not the way God works. Folks, that's not the way God works. We have a partnership with Him. We partner with Him. And that involves us stepping out. It involves us taking risks. It involves us being people of courage. It involves us trusting in Him, being obedient in Him, pursuing after His presence. You know, if God's going to change our community, it's up to us. If He's going to change our nation, it's up to us to do it. We have to step out, and He goes before us, and He is within us. To see God's purposes fulfilled in our lives, we need to get up, and we need to help make it happen. I read this week, as I was looking at this, someone's comments on these in the story of Ruth, and particularly into Ruth 3. It says, Naomi truly felt that God was attacking her at one point, but she slowly started to see that He in His providence was in fact blessing her. Some take the providence of God and become fatalistic. Whatever happens, happens. I'm just going to sit here and not do anything. Everything is always the same. Every year is the same. It's always going to be. It always has been. And the commentator writes, it's a bit like Eeyore, the pessimistic donkey character in Winnie the Pooh. And the challenge is, are there some Eeyore Christians out there? Folks, we at times can be waiting for God to act, for Him to intervene in our life and in our situation, for Him to make it happen. But maybe actually we need to be a bit more courageous. We need to step out in faith. And rather sitting and waiting for God's kingdom to come in our situation, we need to be part of the catalyst that actually enables it to happen. So this morning, I hope there's no Eeyores here. But are we a people who are willing to be obedient to God? Are we willing to be courageous? Are we willing, in a sense, to walk into our own prayers and be part of our own prayers becoming a reality in our lives and in the lives of those around us? Amen. Ask the worship team to come back up. And please stand.